The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I want to thank my dear friend, John Bon Jovi, who has been a great supporter for a long, long time. I have to say that the only thing worse than following John is following John and Bill Clinton.
Driving that train, I'm cocaine.
Well, we have America's first ex-president, America's first Y-president. Now we have America's first Z-president. Have you ever heard of a president courting a rock and roll singer, flying a rock and roll singer in Air Force One? How do you feel about a president who speaks of a rock and roll singer with such endearing terms? I don't have any words for this. It gets lower every day. And so as I say to you on the Savage Nation, each day comes as a new surprise to us in this country. And on the other side of the aisle, we have Romney focusing on courting Latino voters in Texas. We have Romney catering to every splinter group except the conservatives in the United States of America. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Latinos and Hispanic Americans that I don't know where to begin. Whatever happened to Americans, Mr. Romney? The answer is they're all lost. They're all lost in space. They're all being misadvised by the very same people who destroyed America a long, long time ago. And so I'm not going to talk about politics for a while. I mean, we have a recall election in, where is it? Wisconsin? Is that the name of the state? I don't think I've ever been there. No disrespect and... Who's that? That fat comedian's from there, isn't it? But he's from Minnesota? Yeah, sure. Exit polls show Walker holding seat. Despite the fact that the illegitimate thug unions have bussed people in, flown in 400 lawyers from NYU and other cesspools of the left, Walker is holding his seat in Wisconsin. This is such a disaster for Obama. Because if Walker holds his seat, Obama loses this state. If Walker doesn't hold a seat, Obama wins the state. And so there's an awful lot at stake here when you have an illegitimate government that is trying to make certain as many illegal aliens as possible can vote, not only in Wisconsin, but everywhere else. God only knows where this country will go with such an out-of-control administration. So, you know, you can call about that. You know, it's not my cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea to talk about things like this. Truthfully, it's so boring that I'm choking on it, honestly. Honestly, I'm choking on the whole election process. I can't wait till it's over. I honestly cannot wait until November when I can get my life back and all of the party people go back into the world that they come from, the K Street, where they just rob money in silence instead of robbing money in plain sight. That's all. I don't know what's going to be left in November, but I can't wait till it's over. I don't know about you, but to me, 18th century type elections don't interest me. They go on for years. You know, you talk about bread and roses. You talk about carnivals for cannibals. This is insanity. Who wants to live in a country where there's a constant election going on when you all know everything's rigged and fixed by the two parties? At least that's how I see it. Yeah, there's a minor difference between the two. At least I think so. At least it seems so. I'm not sure. Honestly, don't know. So Facebook, where is he? He's still not tipping in Italy. He's made off in an undershirt. What's his name? Fitzberg, isn't it? Fitzberg. Zuckerberg. is Madoff in an undershirt. You can mark that down. To me, he's Madoff in an undershirt. He made off with all that money and went to Italy with his girlfriend and didn't even leave a tip for dinner. Unbelievable. Then you got Clinton speaking for Obama at the Waldorf Astoria. It's astounding to me. All right, let's hear Bill Clinton in a clip. I want to hear his voice. I miss it for a while. Give me a Clinton clip.
I am the warm-up act for the president. And I will attempt to bring him on while you're still warm.
Okay, let's hear clip two.
I care about the long-term debt of the country a lot. Remember me, I'm the only guy that gave you four surplus budgets out of the eight I sent. So,
of course, it was a Republican Congress that did it.
What I say to you will have some weight. Because
no,
I want
to have
you
some weight.
To say it to everybody you see between now and November.
Say what? Say what? Say who? Let's hear clip three.
When I left office, we returned to the trickle-down policy.
Oh, you see, they're all quoting me. They won't give me credit. Trickle-down tyranny. He wouldn't say I gave him the name.
I never had any money.
He got trickle-down policies, I see, not trickle-down tyranny.
I never had it before. I don't know what it was like.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear the next one. I don't have to ask for
just play.
You've
got to have the right captain of the ship.
Oh, yeah, Ludwig.
And I am depending on you to take care of future generations by making sure that captain is President Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Bring him on.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring him on. Let's bring on Captain Ludwig Obama. Captain Ludwig Obama is coming aboard after driving us into an iceberg. Bring him on. Maybe he can strike the ship on the other side. Anywho, here we are. 400 lawyers at the ready. High turnout, exit poll, show Walker holding seat. Bill Clinton says this. Cantor, that's the guy. Where did he go? I was looking for his name yesterday. Whatever happened to Cantor? He disappeared. Remember 2 years ago, Cantor this, Cantor that, Cantor this. There's a deli named Cantor's in Los Angeles, but where did Cantor of the Republican Party go? I don't understand it. Law firm gets dozens of applications for $10,000 a year full-time job. That's about what they're worth. My lawyer costs me $10,000 an hour. Open job at Boston Law Firm pays just $10,000 a year. Can you believe this? It may be even tougher than you think to get a high-paying legal job just out of law school. Hiring law firms, if you thought were low-balling new grads, think again. The Boston blah, blah, blah received an email, this tip from someone who says they're an employed Boston College Law School graduate. Small Boston law firm paying just $10,000 a year. That's $10,000. $10,000 a year? They pay a lawyer that much? Why would they pay a lawyer that much? Workers working full-time with 4 weeks vacation at Massachusetts minimum wage of $8 would be paid more than $15,000 a year. At the federal minimum wage of $7.25, a worker would earn nearly $14,000 in a year. So why would they pay a lawyer $10,000 a year in compensation? Answer, because there's not enough people left in America to screw. The pool of lawyers is so vast that the number of people who have been screwed by lawyers has been depleted. It's like a dried out pond. So there it is. What do you want to talk? Keep Wisconsin going right direction. Can't be shocked by Obama anymore. I'm a little spaced out from all of this. I'll be honest with you. I'm not interested in any of this. I am not interested in it. I don't want to bore you by playing the... I haven't taken my lesson yet. But that's tomorrow night I get the lesson. Oh, no, Thursday night I get my first uke lesson. Tonight is what? Oh, it's a free night. Tomorrow night I'm taking two war hero friends to dinner. I haven't seen them in a year. And take them to dinner, give them a copy of my novel, Abuse of Power, because some of the characters may be based in some part upon some of the stories I've heard from some of these men. So I don't know if they've even read the book. I haven't seen them in a year, but that's what I'm thinking about. And then, of course, I just came from the doctor, and I'm a little nervous because, can I tell you what the doctor, yes or no? I want to see by the red lights whether or not you're interested in my complaints. Because if you are, I will talk about it. If you're not, I'm not going to talk about it. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Yes, Mike, tell us what kind of doctor and what's wrong. No, Mike, don't bore us with the details. We're not interested. We hope you well, but leave us alone. I don't want to hear any more about it. So I'm going to open it up. Yes or no? That's all I want to know, because I don't know what audiences want to hear anymore. My suspicion by what I see going on in the world and the boredom on talk radio. I was in the car on the way to the dock today. I tuned in Rush Limbaugh, which I do very seldom. I stopped listening to him in 1999. I could not believe what I was listening to. If Limbaugh started today and I were a PD, if I get his tape, he would never be hired. He could not work on a local station. They went on for 3 minutes about how great he was. Then he tells her, your name is wonderful. Then she says, you're great. I'm so honored to be on your show. Oh, you're wonderful. You should have seen the pictures to my wedding. I thought it was like breaker one in a truck. Couldn't get a job today. See, that's the problem with talk radio. It's over, except for men like me. If you are not versatile, you're finished in radio. I'm telling you what's coming to you right now. The age that you have grown up listening to talk radio, that type of thing is over. Dead. And after this election, it's finished. Not only have the large groups, radio groups, run away from controversy, A, but B, the boredom level is so high, it's shocking. That's it. That's the absolute truth. You cannot just get away with being Clarabel and say, I love America, okay, and wrap yourself in a flag. The age of Hey Abbott is over. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you take a look at it. I don't want to start bashing people. You know I don't do that. No, what are they saying? Sacramento Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, what's up? Hey, go ahead and talk about it, man. You're...
Well, but isn't it embarrassing for a man to talk about a medical visit?
Well, not really.
Let me ask you this, Mike. I live in my own world, me and a dog, basically. Do men talk with each other about visiting doctors these days? My father never would.
Well, I don't know. I think nowadays we do, just because it's...
My father, when he had a heart attack, crawled in the back of his store, didn't even want anyone to know he had a heart attack. Would you believe it?
Yeah, I believe it.
No, you know, it's very sad, but they were a different breed. He said, don't tell anybody I've had a heart attack while he was in the hospital. They'll see it as weakness, and they'll take advantage of the store. Would you believe the world he lived in?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So I still have a lot of that stoicism in me. I'm afraid to talk about it for fear that you won't. I'm doing it not for sympathy. I'm doing it because it's an interesting topic, by the way. It's not just about me. It's actually something that could be generically of interest to the audience, or I wouldn't bring it up. It's not like I have gangrene of my right toe. I wouldn't talk about that. The minute I come back, if I get enough calls saying yes, I will do it. If I get enough saying no, Mike, it's embarrassing, I won't do it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we got a lot of calls during the break. Most saying yes, talk your health. The others said no, talk politics. On a news level, by the way, I hear that the U.S. got Al-Qaeda's number two. To me, all of Al-Qaeda's always been number two. I thought they were all number two, weren't they? Isn't Al-Qaeda number two? Isn't everyone in Al-Qaeda number two? Okay, you got to understand English to get there. That's a tough translation, by the way. That would be a tough translation, incidentally. Oh, yeah. Well, look, the illness is not a painful election. It's not that I've had a painful election these last 2 years. No, that's not the illness problem. Play Doctor, Doctor, and then we'll get into the show.
Doctor, Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case
Great
of
song.
Loving you.
Another era. What happened to music? It's become dismal. Dismal, 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 dismal. We're watching the exit polls. There's an endless election. I have to see it. Rematch similar to election 2 years ago. Sources tell Drudge 5-point margin developing. Developing. I like the word developing. It's an interesting word, developing. Exit polls show Walker holding seat. All right. I hope so. I hope he whips the union's number two area. I really do. Okay, let's take the callers. Houston, Texas, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? I was going to say that in these modern times, modern man, we have one or two really close friends that we can talk to about anything. But for the most part, we keep the world out. But I think you should talk about it. I consider us your friends. A friend is somebody you would do anything for. And you've illustrated you would do anything for us. And I would do anything for you. So feel free to tell us about your procedure.
That's very interesting. I actually feel the same way. I think that my audience are my friends. I have no friends. I have people who will come to my party and drink my wine and eat my food. And then you never get invited for a hot dog. But that's the way the world is. I don't care. I mean, it's, you know, it's my business. I'm one of these people who do things for people. I'm a blood type O. I'm not complaining. But it's not a big deal at this point. 6 months ago, I had a lump in my right pectoral muscle, okay? So you figure, guy, what's he gonna... But then, you know, they tell you that today men could have the same thing as a woman with breast you know, cancer on in the same area, because after all, it's muscle tissue is what you're talking about. So I went to, strange enough, I went to a female doctor who's a breast cancer surgeon. She's an expert. Lovely lady, Texan, top education. Everyone has their bias. Let's put it to you that way. I liked her. Very intelligent woman, great American medical school. She didn't go to Pakistan U. I think she went to Baylor Medical School. I mean, if I have a choice, I'll choose Pakistan University. Let's put it to you that way. Or whatever, or the Ganges University, you know. So I go to see her. She does the sonogram, and she says, well, let's watch it. So I ignored it. But I ignored it for a number of months because my muscle was bigger, like the, you know, the mass was larger. So I went in today, and she said, look, she said, there's a chance that it's the bad one, and she said, you should remove it. I said, she said, but I'm not... She says, you know, but don't do anything right now because it may not be. We don't know, but we have to err on the side of caution. I'm not gonna go for surgery at this point. I'm not gonna do it. I'm a wait and watch kind of guy, because if you aspirate certain dormant cells or even cells that are very slow growing, even if they're benign, you could actually excite them into a rapid growth. You have to understand. I mean, I'm not a novice when it comes to these things. In ancient Rome, for example, the surgeons wrote in ancient Rome that if people lived with the tumors, they could often live a full life. And when the surgeon opened up the body and aspirated the tumor, it often spread rapidly and killed them almost immediately, well, in a very short period of time. So I'm not saying it's tumorous, don't get me wrong. But we don't know what it is, so there it is. So it's bothering me, that's all.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Teachers unions. Teachers. What happened to teachers? I used to be a teacher. Why have they become so bad? Why have the unions become so all-powerful and overbearing and anti-family, anti-American, anti-church? How did this happen in a lifetime? Well, whatever. That's why this recall election in Wisconsin is so critical. It seems that the Wisconsin recall election, there's a lot at stake in that it looks like the governor is going to hold on to his seat, the Republican governor, and that this recall election will fall on its face no matter what Obama and the unions and the out-of-state voters and the illegal aliens do. It looks to me like the average working person in Wisconsin is going to keep this governor, and that's a slap in the face to the others that I just mentioned. It will affect the 2012 presidential election and the future of the United States. And there's a lot at stake today, and we're watching it carefully. In the news, drone strike kills Al-Qaeda's number two. As I said to me, they're all number two. Rumsfeld, remember him? He says Israel can't trust Obama. Yeah, well, no kidding. How come the Jewish people don't know that, Donald? How come the Jewish liberals don't know that they can't trust Obama? What's wrong with them? What is it with the Jewish people who produce so many brilliant people in so many spheres of life, except when it comes to survival? What's wrong with them? I don't want to talk about same-sex marriage. I'm bored of the topic. To me, it's an oxymoron to begin with. Let's see. Obama campaign all in on Tuesday's California primary. What does that mean? Resumes pour in for a legal job in Boston with a $10,000 a year salary. It's about what they're worth. Wow. Anti-war activists won't rent an apartment to a veteran. Anti-war activist Janice Roberts, a 63-year-old Dorchester, Massachusetts resident, has refused to rent an apartment to Sergeant Joel Morgan, 29, of veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. I would say Janice Roberts, the communist, should be sued for discrimination. And I would say that if that veteran is listening to this show, as much trouble as I have right now, I will offer Sergeant Joel Morgan a large donation to hire a lawyer. Oh, he filed this week, saying that his military service presented a conflict of interest. Oh, she filed a lawsuit saying that that this man's military service presented a conflict of interest to her because she was a peace activist. I don't believe this. I don't believe this. I can't believe what I'm looking at. I just don't believe what I'm looking at. I would say that if this liberal witch gets away with this, I'm leaving America. I would say this. Joel Morgan, a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, you're 29 years old, and this old witch, this 63-year-old communist witch, is suing you because she doesn't want to rent to you because you're a veteran. I would say if you don't have a lawyer and you're listening to me on WRKO in Boston right now, or you hear about this, you email my people at TRN. I will get you a lawyer, and I will fund your lawsuit to start with, and I'll raise money for you. And I will show that Janice Roberts, that 63-year-old communist from Dorchester, Massachusetts, that this is still America. She doesn't live in Cuba or communist Russia. What a world we live in. A rotten, stinking progressive. A rotten, stinking progressive not renting to a person who helped ensure she has the right to her idiocy. I've never seen anything like this. How in the world does the DOJ take every case but those necessary to survive, to for the survival of this country's freedoms? All right, let's take the callers. 1-800-449-8255. Let's see what we got in the sound department. Bill Clinton, I'm not interested in already. Obama at a New York City fundraiser with Bon Jovi went over like... In other words, didn't go over it. Obama. Oh, listen to clip 18. Here's Obama on Planned Parenthood and abortion. Listen to this.
We're not going to go back to the days when suddenly women don't have preventive care or... We eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. We're not going back to those days. I want my daughters to have the same opportunities as our sons, and I want our women to have the same ability to control their health care decisions as anybody else.
Oh, shush. Please. What do you mean health care decisions? You're parsing words. You mean kill the unborn. It's unbelievable to me. This is unbelievable to me. This is a campaign run on everything un-American and anti-American. Everything that the average American detests, this man stands for. Let's see now. What's the point of bashing him? The man bashes himself every time he speaks. Well, what else is in the news? We're on location in San Francisco, not in Wisconsin. Today I was in San Francisco on the way to the doctor. Of course, I had to step over the bums. Almost got run over by a businessman in a BMW. I don't know who I distrusted more, the bums or the businessman in the BMW. At least with the bum, I knew where he was coming from. You know, he didn't bother me. Is there anyone out there listening to this show anymore? Where is everybody? I know my ratings are high. Where is this? Los Angeles said Skid Row residents can pollute the streets with human waste and dirty hypodermic needles. That's the America you live in. And a new injunction in Los Angeles allows Skid Row residents to pollute streets with human waste and needles. Did you believe this? A few weeks ago, the L.A. County Department of Public Health inspected the area of Los Angeles Skid Row located in downtown Los Angeles and found that the area was aptly named. It contained drug needles, used condoms, rat infestations, and human feces. City officials cleaned it up. The health inspectors then went back for another look, and the area was worse than before. Then what happened? Apparently, they said it's okay. It's okay to throw feces and condoms in the gutter in the backyard of the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's. There's the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's is saying that the city is supposed to clean it up and you're allowed to basically do number two in the streets. Jerry Brown, the governor, says it's okay to do number two in the streets. We'll clean it up for you. In other words, if city officials try to clean up the streets, residents of Skid Row appear and claim that the refuse is their personal property and you can't take away their number two. And Jerry Brown and Nancy Pelosi in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says that that's right. The scum of society have more rights than you do. the scum of the earth, the scum of society, the lowest of the low, are now forcing us to clean up their fecal matter. You say there's nothing at stake? Maybe everything's at stake. This is unbelievable, too. It's beyond comprehension what has happened to this country. Where are the environmentalists now that there's human waste in the streets? Real pathogens being allowed in the gutters of Los Angeles, human waste, blood products, bacterial and viral illnesses from these bottom-feeding vermin, 90% of whom are quite ill. And the government says it's okay for them to do this. It's like a human zoo. It's not comprehensible. And by the way, San Francisco's not far behind. Half the city smells of number one, except for the Chinatown area, because the Chinese do not put up with bums hanging around their part of town, incidentally. Good for them. But if you walk through Chinatown, you don't smell number one and you don't see number two, because they chase the bums away, and the bums are afraid of them. The way Mulberry Street used to be in New York when I was a kid. Well known. Oh, yeah, that's true. When Mulberry Street was Mulberry Street, and as a kid, 50s, 60s, it was well known that you could leave a car full of Christmas presents on Mulberry Street with the doors unlocked and come back and nobody would have touched the presents, because if anyone went near your car, the guy would have wound up as fodder in the back of one of the private clubs, or would have had a beating put upon him. He wouldn't know what hit him. You know, six guys would have come out with the pinkies in the air, and that would have been the end of the burglary. And they did it in order to make sure that people came to their village called Little Italy, and they were safe. Not anymore, though. But in Chinatown, it's the same way. Apparently, the tongues on the bums. I don't know what. Well, what do you want to talk about? Brother, can you spare a dime? I mean, should we talk about, brother, can you spare a dime? What else is in the news? Where are we? It's 18 minutes to 42. I'm going to go buy a purple shirt after the show. That's my big event. I have a purple shirt. You want to hear a story, an internet purchasing story? I swear to God, I found a purple shirt in my closet that I like, a striped purple shirt with a purple tie. It's like my favorite outfit. And I wear it with a black velour jacket, you know, when I go out in certain places. So I said, all right, why don't you buy five of these shirts? So I get the brand. I look on the internet. I've never done internet purchasing of clothing. I normally go to a store, right, from another generation. I look it up. I find it's on overstocked or something.com. There's no number to call. So I get into a chat room with one of the goons, probably in Bangalore, India. I know there's no such city, right? And the guy starts texting me. What do you want? Yes, we have one in purple. It took 5 minutes. Yes, we have one in purple. Text them. What size do you want? I was going crazy already. I said, here's my name. Here's my MasterCard number. It expires, and here's the address. Next question, what's your name? I said, I just sent it to you. He says, what's your MasterCard number? I said, I just sent it to you. I send it. Then he says to me, good, what's your name? It was like a nightmare. So it went on like this for another 10 minutes. I'm trying to run my life. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, are you an idiot? I don't want any more of this. Next comes an invitation from overstock.com for 15% discounts, which I didn't ask for. I said, terminate this immediately. Do not charge my credit card, and I didn't get the purple shirt. And that's why I'm going to go to a store tonight, try to buy the purple shirt, or ask them to order it for me. Let them go online and kill themselves. I never saw anything like it. What is this buying online? I mean, it's crazy. You don't save any time. Play Purple Haze. Go ahead. Give me some fun. It is the Savage Nation. Here's a big story from the Associated Press. Shoplifting suspect dies at Walmart after getting into a fight with store security workers. Jose Marcos Picasso went shopping for clothes at Walmart. I guess he wanted to shop for a little more than he was paying for. And he was accused of shoplifting, and he fought with store security workers who detained him in a parking lot. Questions remain for Picasso's family. Four reasons after his death. Oh, they got a shyster lawyer already? He didn't have any reason to steal. He had the money, said his mother. Oh, they're all innocent. He sings in a church choir. They detained him for petty theft. He began to fight with them, said Lieutenant Holly Francisco of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Blah, 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 medical distress. So a fat guy gets into a fight and dies. What do they want from him? You mean you can't even stop a shoplifter anymore? Rosa Picasso said her son wasn't violent or aggressive. Here's the punchline, though. He has struggled with alcohol and drugs, but was clean and sober and was renting a room in a nearby city. Oh, he struggled with alcohol and drugs. He's the only one who struggled with it. We also struggled with security guards, madam. I'm sorry for your loss. Okay. Then the mother goes on saying he was living there and he was trying to get a better life. He's like a kid who gets shot after a drug interaction. He's 15 years old. He's not in school, but the mother says he wanted to be an astronaut. So already they put him in. The country lost an astronaut. My concern is that he didn't have the help he needed to save his life, said the mother. That's already a lawyer's writing for her. She said that like my dog could talk. She added that her husband had seen the son the day before his death, and he seemed fine. However, Picasso was admitted to a hospital that same day for an unspecified medical condition. He was released that day with a clean bill of health, clean bill of health. They probably loaded him up on medication, which he probably sold outside the store. Get out of here already. I'm sorry that you lost your son. What do you expect to happen with this? He was shoplifting. Video showed he was stealing. Then he tries to run away. Then the poor security guards detain him. Then he drops dead and the mother gets a shyster lawyer. Substance abuse puts a question mark after nearly everything else that you do. If you are a drunk or a drug user, everything you do has a question mark after it. Everything. Nothing is what you say it is. Nothing. Because you don't even know what you're doing. That's all. SF teens mugged, punched, burned with cigarette. Perpetrators not identified because they're not white males with a blonde hair and blue eyes. SF teens mugged, punched, and burned by three adults, but they don't identify. Be on the lookout for three adults in San Francisco who attacked two teenagers and burned them with cigarettes. This is an all-points bulletin. We are looking for three adults over the age of 25, no race. That's all. That's what the newspaper that you have here. Burned SUV with body. Oh, what a horrible country. I don't know if I can take any more. I need the banjo. Where's the banjo? The banjo. I think I'll take up the banjo. What do they want to know about? So all they want to know is about the recall election. That's all that anybody wants. I told them there's no results yet. I'm following it for you. I'm on the same websites you are. See, here's the thing. Let's say you're listening to talk radio right now. So you're on the. If you're listening to this in your home, what are you doing? You're probably on various websites watching the recall election. So you know what I do before I know it. So what's the point of me reading to you from a website? Michelle Obama applauds New York City soda ban. How about French fry ban, Michelle? How about a greasy rib ban? How about banning French fries when Michelle comes to town? You know, as I say, and if you want to quote me, Mike Bloomberg, I think you ought to ban Jeroboam's of wine. Because if you're going to ban 32-ounce portions of soda, because you care so much about poor people and the amount of sugar they're getting, how about your drunk friends at dinner parties who are drinking a Jeroboam of wine? After all, if you don't let Jeroboams be sold in New York City, they'll only be able to buy regular bottles of wine. And, of course, they'll be free to buy two bottles of wine. And then you'll say, well, nobody drinks two bottles of wine. And nobody drinks a Jeroboam by themselves. Well, maybe no one drinks a 32-ounce soda by themselves, Mike. Did you ever think poor people buy it because it's cheaper and they can split it and share it with someone at a ball game, Mike? Did that ever enter your mind? See, little brother makes no sense. No matter which way you cut it, what little brother is doing makes no sense except to Michelle Obama, who I have affectionately named Lord of the Fries. Flap less, coast more. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's twilight time.
This song is dedicated to Herb Reed of the vocal group The Platters, who died today at age of 83. Great, great group. Last of the founding members of the 1950s R&B group The Platters. No one remembers him. I mean, I thought he was a great sing. Isn't this sweet compared to today? Rubbing the crotch. I speak 50 words of English.
Fingers of night will soon surrender.
The Great Pretender was great. Let me hear The Great Pretender. I want to hear that. Time is running short. I know I should do it. Wisconsin and this and that.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
The Great Pretender.
Well, that's the country I grew up in. There was less enmity between the races when I grew up than now. That's all I can tell you. How do you explain that I, a white kid from Queens, New York, was able to go to the Apollo Theater in Harlem when I was 13 years old with a couple of friends to hear a rock and roll group, and it was half black, half white. No one knifed each other. No one shot each other. And no one did anything to each other. And then along came LBJ and the Great Society. And along comes the Democrat machine. And they turn one race against another. And the whole country's burning. Tell me about it. Tell me. Tell me how it happened. You know, he was so great. This group was so great that my father, I told you, is from another world. Riding in the car, the old car, into the store and this and that. I wasn't allowed to listen to the radio. I told you, no radio. What do you mean, no radio? I was bored out of my mind, depressed, the thought of going to work. No radio. You got to get ready for work. Put your mind. I said, what do you mean putting my mind at work? I'm in the car. I'm going over the Williamsburg Bridge. I'm looking down in the river there. I don't want to see the. No car. You got to get ready. Put your mind on what you're going to do today. You won't do it right. You know, like that. So then as the time went on, I was allowed to listen to the radio. It was like a little benefit in like solitary. I was like put in the shoe. The car was like being in the shoe, but I was allowed to have the radio about a year later. So I would put on rock and roll on the way home, and he would say, hey, that's pretty good. He came to love the Platters, would you believe it? A lot of stuff. He liked Lenny Bruce, too, the old man. How would he have liked Lenny? I don't understand how he came to like Lenny Bruce. I can't understand that. Why did Lenny Bruce appeal to an old curmudgeon like him? I'll never understand.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Three, 2, 1, you're live with Michael Savage. Welcome to the program. We're all watching Wisconsin and the recall election, which is going to fizzle out, proving that Obama and the unions cannot rig the elections everywhere, which will be very big news. And here's another very big newsy story for you. As I told you, there's a free email right now available to you on my website, michaelsavage.com, that WND puts together for me. So they just published my comments from the other day. What do you really know about the Bilderberg Group? So I'm going to read it to you. Welcome to the Michael Savage Newsletter, your daily insider report on all things Savage. In this issue, Savage invited listeners to call in and speak their minds, but he warned, if you speak in America today, no one hears you unless you're a member of the Bilderberg Group. They're powerful international technocrats, financiers, and power brokers whose top secret annual meeting just wrapped up. So I'm going to quote myself in a minute. But what's interesting is what I said about it, and I'm going to read it to you from my newsletter, which, by the way, you can get for nothing by signing up. Here's what I said. The Bilderberg Group, it sounds so conspiratorial, doesn't it? Michael Savage mused on the air, adding, Bilderberg sounds Jewish. When right-wing nuts and racists hear that, it feeds their fervor. When they hear the word Bilderberg, they hear Jewish and banker, like a cartoon on a poster from the Nazi era. I actually did an analysis of the Bilderberg Group. Do you really know what it is? Do you know what they do? Do you know who's in it? Why do you fear the Bilderberg Group? What are they doing that frightens you? After you listen to the Occupy protesters, I'll tell you the truth. Their screams can drive you back to the Bilderbergs. Who would you rather have running the world, the Bilderberg group or the communists in the gutter who would take away everything you've worked for your entire life? Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't invited to the meeting, nor would I ever be. The only member of the media ever invited to talk to the Bilderberg group is that faker Charlie Rose, who's nothing but a mouthpiece for the power elite. I was shocked to see that Peggy Noonan was invited, but then again, I always felt she was a knee-jerk Republican, as brilliant as she is, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised. And I noticed several people from the conservative Hoover Institution think tank made it onto the Bilderberg group guest list this year. I guess that explains why I've never been invited to the Hoover Institution either. Michael Savage's new nonfiction book, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. It's a very nice newsletter. And you can get on it by signing up for nothing. And you'll find out where I'm going, what I'm doing, this and that. So when you hear Bilderberg, the main reason the right wing doesn't like it is because it has a Jewish sounding name to it. And they think Jewish banker. It's stereotypically anti-Semitic. What you don't know is that the name Bilderberg takes its name from the hotel in Holland where the first meeting took place in May 1954. 1954, Bilderberg, Holland. Nothing to do with a banker, a fat banker in a striped suit like in a Monopoly board. So it was a meeting in 1954 where leaders, leading citizens on both sides of the Atlantic, felt that Western Europe and North America needed to work better together on common problems of critical importance. Now, it is true that there's no question there are elements of a world government in it. The fact that it's secretive is very worrisome. And the fact that they don't report to anybody and yet they have enormous influence is worrisome. But probably they are less influential than the vermin in the ACLU. I mean, when you say Bilderberg, okay, fine. But know that it's just the name of a hotel in Holland where the first meeting took place. Number two, the ACLU is an altogether secretive group that should be, if we really had an FBI, it should be investigated by the FBI, broken up by the FBI, the assets seized by the FBI, and the leaders of it arrested for conspiracy to destroy the United States of America, with a special emphasis on their anti-Christian hatred. The racism of the ACLU is overwhelming. Never saw anything like it. Now, of course, I'm a dreamer, so that won't happen in my lifetime, but maybe the ACLU will have to turn over all of their ill-gotten gains. Anything could happen. If the communists can foist Obama on us, if the American people are that gullible, that a man of absolutely no qualifications whatsoever with a loud voice and a pretty wife could be made president based upon nothing, it is possible that a true conservative based upon something could one day lead this country out of the swamp that it's been put into. That's what I say. 1-800-449-8255. You have to hear what you have to say. Mobile, Alabama. Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to let you know, I recently went to the local animal shelter and adopted a little puppy to play with my chihuahua named Lou. And I got to thinking about a name for it, and I thought you might get a kick out of it. My new puppy's name is, and I can't say it with the inflection that you do, but it makes me smile every time I call him. His name is, that's all. Because you say it a lot.
Oh, when I say that's all, that way, you call your dog that's all?
That's all. And you would not, you probably would.
It's funny, you know, it's a funny thing. I have an Italian friend in San Francisco who loves when I say that's all. He loves it. When I go in his restaurant, he says, I love the way you say that's all. He loves that phrase, too. Somehow it translates better to people who speak with a different regional accent or a different national accent.
Exactly. I can't pull it off because I'm from the South. I can't pull it off like you do. But
Well, wait a minute. You mean in the Steel Magnolia vernacular, there's no equivalent term?
Yeah, I mean, I can say it like when I call him, you know, that's all.
No. What I mean is, let's say you're speaking to another Magnolia down there in your territory, right? And you make a sweeping statement about something. Don't you have something that you can conclude it with that's definitive along the lines of that's all, but in your own, in your own jargon?
Well, when you're calling your dog, you know, a lot of people will come up to me and they're not really sure that I'm calling the dog.
Oh, you mean when you start in the street saying, that's all, they don't know what you're talking about?
Exactly. So when I'm approached about his name.
It's actually a funny call. When you actually think about it, it's almost like who's on first.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, you must live alone. Is that it? That's.
How did you know that?
Anyone who would name a dog after a throwaway phrase of Michael Savage has to live alone.
No, it's not a throwaway phrase, Michael. It's your signature. Nobody else can say it like you.
That's funny. Hey, maybe that's going to be my autobiography call. That's all! Exclamation point with my finger. With my finger pointing at the audience. That's all.
That's it, Michael. That's it. And then one more story. Just real quick. Hey, this was a couple.
Probably
months
stolen already by Rush Limbaugh. Before I finish the sentence. Yeah. What else is on your mind? Well, Ann, I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for you, and that's all. Would you like that?
Michael, but I have to tell you this.
All right, that's all. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. That's all. I gave the lady a book. That's all. Let's move on here. That's all. What did I want to say? What did I want to say? But I got to be careful about it. I was going to tell you about my experiences. I couldn't order a purple shirt. I don't know whether it was in India. I don't know who the answerer was. Till I got through texting me, I almost died. I couldn't take another second of it. I said, disconnect me right now. This is idiotic. It took another 10 minutes till I unplugged me. Then I got ads, 5% more if you take the product you just ordered. I said, I didn't order anything. It was impossible. There's another store I wanted to bash. From a personal point of view, I forgot what it was already. I was going to tell you about it. It's not a guitar manufacturer, not a ukulele manufacturer. I'll be right back. Let me think about it.
Savage.
The Savage Nation, and we're just fiddling around here on the program today waiting for the results of the recall election. You know, I have another pet peeve to avoid politics for another few seconds, and I don't have any stake in the product. I've never seen anything like this. It's ruined. It ruined one of my cars once. It took a year to get the smell out. I'm talking about an expensive car. The dealer almost destroyed my car with it. Now it happened to another car. I have a house in Florida. I leave a car there. The guy takes it into a car wash, comes out. It smells like a rental from 1965 in Staten Island. Like an old Chrysler that someone, like a smoker was in. No one smokes. It was a new car. Destroyed the leather. You can't get the stink out. We don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. We got to hire the cannibal to go in there and boil the leather. If they let the cannibal out of prison for a few days, maybe I can hire him to... Maybe he has some secret method of I never saw anything like this. Who uses this stuff? How did this happen? That idiot dealers hype products on car leather. Where'd this come from? It stinks, number one. Number two, you slide around on it. What's the point of getting leather if you slip on it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Again, you know, no disrespect intended, but I'm allowed to give you my personal opinion. I never saw a product like this. How did they oversell this? This like goes back to the days of fresh frozen. You'd go in a restaurant in the 70s, and you'd say about, is it fresh? Yes, sir, it's fresh frozen. I remember when my son was a little kid, and I'd go in a restaurant. I'd say, I'd like the fish. Is it fresh? Yes, sir, it's fresh frozen. That's like try almonds with everything. When almond raisers were selling you, it made you had an almond with everything. All we ask is that you eat a pound a week. I don't know, whatever. Wherever you went, almondine this, almondine that, wherever you turned, there were almonds sprinkled on everything. There were almonds on peanuts. I never saw anything like it doing an almond push. It's the same with fresh frozen. Now it's armor. Everywhere you turn, it's armor all on every car. It's from the age when your uncle, you know, had a DeSoto with rotten seats. They would spray a dashboard that looked like it was going to crack in the sun to peddle it to some immigrant. Now they put it on a new car. You can't go in the thing. You could die in the car. How do you get that stink out? No one knows what to do. She took the car back to the car wash. Already the lawyers are involved. They know what they did. Las Vegas, Nevada. J.D., welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thanks. What I missed you, I haven't heard you in a long time, bring back red diaper doper babies. It applies so much to the Obama's administration, himself included, and all those other...
Absolutely. Obama is admittedly a marijuana head, at least when he was younger, so he's a red diaper doper baby, and now he's running the country. Look who he has on Air Force One. A rock and roll musician, John Bon Jovi. This is what America has descended to. That a rock and roller is put on an airplane, held up as a role model. You hear?
The whole White House, that's all he has is rock and rollers and all the throwbacks.
Yeah, he turned the White House into the Red House. Okay, you can quote me on that. It's gone from the White House to the Red Diaper Doper Baby House under Barack Hussein Obama. RDDB, Red Diaper Doper Baby. I hope a woman from Louisiana doesn't call and say, Mike, I just named my dog Red Diaper Doper Baby. That's a tough one. Come here, Red Diaper Doper Baby. Come here, RDDB. Now, RDDB would work for a dog, but not Red Diaper Doper Baby. Thanks for the tip. For those of you who don't know what a Red Diaper Doper Baby is, think of a Barack Obama. A Red Diaper Baby was well known in my day. I did not coin that phrase. Those were kids whose parents were hardcore communists slash socialists slash Emma Goldman anarchists in the slums of New York, largely immigrant families, who sent their little children to commie camps in the Pocono Mountains, and mainly the Poconos, where they were inculcated in Alinsky-style behavior. And they were known as red diaper babies. Then along came the 60s, where you added the fuel of marijuana to the diaper baby, and you had a red diaper doper baby, which was a particularly malignant form of a red diaper baby. It was sort of a red diaper baby on marijuana. They became psychotic anti-Americans. Then they metastasized it into everything American was bad. They hated the flag. They hated the country. They hated the father, the mother, the Holy Ghost. They hated the church. They hated Jesus. They hated Mary. They hated Moses. They hated Abraham. They hated everything about everything decent in the country. That's a red diaper doper baby. And that's what you have now running America. If you examine this government, you can't argue that it's not run by red diaper doper babies because you'd be wrong. That's all. I'm getting a sore throat. Victim's head still missing in Canada dismemberment case. Authorities say video of the killing posted online shows Luca Rocco Magnata engaged in sexual acts involving body parts and that it includes evidence of cannibalism. Hey, it's his lifestyle, man. The ACLU would argue that Luca Rocco Magnata, although it was detestable to the average Christian, the sexual acts with body parts from a dead person was simply a lifestyle choice, and we have no right to impose our judgmentalism upon him. I mean, that's the way the red diaper doper baby looks at things like this. So although to you it may be repugnant to have sex with a body part that's been cut off a person, you have to look at it from the point of view of the cannibal and from his background and his experiences and the things he liked, his own lifestyle choices, cutting off a person's head and having sex with the head after. That's his choice. Now, it may be illegal because you're an uptight, you know, Christian or something like that, stuck on biblical ideas, but we're living in a new age. Hey, man, loosen up. Let it go. Luca Rocco Magnata. I mean, the ACLU themselves wouldn't engage in such behavior, but hey, it's different heads for different schmeds. I mean, what can I say to you? Or shall I say different heads on different meds? I mean, let's look at it that way. Only one Al-Qaeda leader left. The terrorist group behind the 9/11 attacks is now mostly out of business. Ayman al-Zawahiri is the last leader of any consequence, full story. Oh, I pray Obama gets him. I pray that they smash him with a drone. I can't stand looking at his filthy beard one more day. I pray that they get him with a drone. I pray. That's my only prayer now is one more to go. Venus transit the sun. No, give Obama credit where credit is due. What, you're not allowed to say something good? Bush didn't get these guys. Bush should have gotten, you want me to tell you? Bush should have gotten Osama bin Laden, and he didn't. That's all. The Mangler didn't get him. The Mangler did not get, why didn't he get him? Bush could have gotten, Clinton could have gotten Osama bin Laden. We know that from CIA operatives. They had him in the sight. They had the tall guy, white cloak, and Clinton said no because of fears of collateral damage. Who knows why Bush didn't do it? Maybe he was at a barbecue with Rosie O'Donnell and It wouldn't have fit in with the, that's all.
Savage.
I was going to also talk about commencement speakers, because no commencement speaker in America is a conservative that I know of. They're all far-left fanatics and usually illiterate morons. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm very controversial. I'm a brilliant man, a scholar, many books to my name. All right, but put me aside. There are people who are conservatives who are brilliant, who should be commencement speakers. Instead, they're brainwashed by the lowest vermin in America. I've never seen anything like it. And by the way, that includes Sotomayor, who has no qualifications whatsoever to be a Supreme Court justice. If you actually heard that woman speak at a commencement address like a week ago, you would not believe what's on the Supreme Court. Illiterate, no brains, no intelligence, no humor, no insights, nothing. Nothing. There's been a revolution of the stupid in the United States of America. You talk about madness. You talk about madmen. I was going to talk about the dumbest commencement. You know, there should be lawsuits by conservative groups of students on campuses across America. Lawsuits demanding equal treatment in terms of commencement speakers, where 50% of the speakers must be known conservatives or they sue the university. The universities have been hijacked from top to bottom by these communists. So why don't the students sue them and say, we want a conservative by this name or that name, or we're suing you? You have no right to jam this garbage down our throat. Black Panthers are speaking. Jailbirds are speaking. You pick the anti-American. They're speaking. So you talk about madness and madmen. I was watching Mad Men the other day, to shift to another mad topic. At first, I was angry at Matthew Weiner for disappointing, and he made it a little too much into a chick flick for my taste. But this week's segment was so good, I was shocked. And one of the most tragically comedic scenes I've ever seen in the history of film was done by him. He didn't write it, by the way. It was a husband and wife team with a French name. He gets the credit. There's an English character in Mad Men. A Mad Men set in the 50s, early 60s in Madison Avenue, right? That's what it's about if you don't watch it on AMC. So, January Jones is in it, and they puffed her up for the pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. But there's a character in the ad agency, one of the partners, he's an Englishman, superbly played by this character. Everybody loves him. The guy is incredible. The penultimate British gentleman, with the driest sense of humor. And you really got to like this man as a character. Everyone likes him. So he gets slammed into a problem by the British tax authorities. They want $6,000 from him. He doesn't have it. So he embezzles money from the firm, thinking it's going to be a short loan of 15 days. He signs another partner's name to a check. He takes the money, or else he would have lost his U.S. citizenship, his visa. His lawyer tells him he's got to pay it right away. So he embezzles it around Christmas time, thinking he's going to get a Christmas bonus because he knows he's a partner. He knows that there's enough money for that. The other partners vote that there should be no bonus. So he's stuck with the embezzlement, but nobody knows about it yet. In this week's segment, he gets caught by the nasty character, Don Draper. And Don calls him in and he says, blah, 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 you forged my signature. And the guy, I didn't do it. Then he did do it. Then he starts to cry, which is very sad to see any man cry, truthfully, especially a guy with that level of dignity. You know, this is a big deal. And he says, I'm going to lose everything. They're going to deport me. And Don says, I don't care, basically. He says, either you resign or I'll let the partners know. He said, because you stole money, you embezzled money. And he said, and you forged my name. And the guy said, it was only for 15 days, Don. Don is heartless, typical heartless Madison Avenue creep. Next scene, the guy, the British guy, his wife buys a brand new Jaguar, a 59 or a 60 XKE convertible, I believe, a British Racing Green, as a surprise. And he doesn't have the money for it. He can't believe it. He doesn't know what to do, right? He's just resigned. She doesn't know it. He comes home drunk and blah, blah, blah. So the next scene that night, he goes into the Jaguar, takes a garden hose, attaches it to the exhaust of the Jaguar, closes the windows, puts the hose into the car and tries to start it. And lo and behold, the Jaguar doesn't start and he can't commit suicide. I mean, you talk about tragicomedy. It was astounding. You sort of knew it was going to happen once he started because I owned cars like that. And you had the you know, they were famous. The Lucas Electric System. I only wish them on Chinese rockets, the Lucas Electric System. I only wish that the Chinese still used Lucas Electric for their rockets or their ships and their airplanes. Nothing worked with Lucas Electric in those days. So the car doesn't start. And this poor English guy can't commit suicide, right? But you knew it wasn't over. But that scene was astounding in Mad Men. Later on, they find him. He hung himself by his tie. It's horrible. Just horrible. When Don Draper realizes that he killed him, the look on his face, you see what a skunk he really is, this character. You know what a no-good Nick he is. And Blondie, the wife, is just as bad. But there's other elements of the show I didn't care for. It was too much of a chick flick. I don't want to go into details. The daughter getting the first time. I could have done without it. It was for women, really. It was very touching. But really, as for a man watching it, it was not something you really want to dwell on. But okay, it was treated. The female audience, mainly women, watch these things. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Bilderbergers, cars, ukuleles, growths on my pectoral muscles. What else is in the news? Victim's head still missing. Only one Al-Qaeda leader left. Scott Walker. You know, this is the pastiche of my mind. The geography of my brain. Let's see. Wisconsin exit polls rematched the election 2 years ago. Sources tell Drudge 5-point margin. White House downplaying. Washington Post says makeup of voters appears very close to original contest. Dems cry foul. 400 lawyers, commie lawyers at the ready. 119% voter turnout in Madison. That's where the communist red diaper dopa baby students live. 119% voter turnout, and Eric Holder's looking to see if he can make it 120, 150%. Results are 6 p.m. Western time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Close, but no recall. Yay! Soros spends $400 million on open society, education, and social action. Me? Up to me? Soros, orange jumpsuit. FBI immediate, orange jumpsuit, handcuffs. George Soros has given more than $400 million to colleges and universities, including money to most prominent institutions in the United States. Now you understand why only communists are invited to speak at George Soros-funded universities. Look, yesterday I told you about another wonderful human being who passed away, God rest his soul, by the name of whatever, the banker woman. What a face on her. What was the name of that woman? Sellers? Huh? Sandler. Sandler, Marion Sandler, another prize. Gives money to the billions of dollars, most of it going to communist organizations. Left-wing fanatics who hate America. Liberal psychotics. All of the Ivy League schools, along with the various state schools, were also funded by Soros. The Koch brothers were vilified by the American political left for donating almost $7 million to universities, while their beloved Soroses, their Soroses, gave more than 50 times that amount to the same type of groups without one comment from the vermin on the left. It's frightening that they can do this. Vilify the Koch brothers for giving money and say nothing about this rat, this anti-American rat Soros. I've never seen anything like this. If only J. Edgar Hoover were alive. God, where is he now that we need him? God, if only J. Edgar Hoover were alive now that we need him. 1-800-449-8255. I gave you already everything. I have. There's nothing left. Overstocked, Armorall, Cannibals, Wisconsin, a brush with death. How much more can I give you today? There's nothing left in me. I threw it all at you. Like nothing. It's like bad relatives on the show today. Like relatives on Prozac. I'm not going to take calls on how to descent my car. Drop the call. I know how to descent it. Rip the leather out and start again. Take the car back and tell the dealer to deal with it. Pittsburgh, PA, Leah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to tell you that there is a bright spot from this Obama administration. I was forced to cut back like everybody else, and my cable went, and my internet went, and I went to talk radio. And that's how I found you, and I'm so happy.
The best things in life are free, Leah.
That's right. And I tell everybody. And people around here, half of them don't know your name, but they do now. Everybody I see, I try to engage at least one person a day in a political conversation. And I always say, listen to Dr. Savage, 6 o'clock, 104.7.
Well, you're getting a free copy to go with your impoverished status, and I feel bad for you. It's not a pretty situation to have the locus of the federal government pick your pocket like this. But Leah was sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I would send you Trickle Up Poverty, but okay, I don't want to, you know, do a parody of a parody. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. You want to talk about Mad Men now? Should we devolve? We can do that. Trump, you want to talk about Trump in USA Today? He's mad at them now because they called him a clown, so he said he canceled their subscription. Whoever has a subscription, who would have a subscription to USA Today to begin with? You know, that's a newspaper that's given out in every hotel room in America. They already are losing money. Can you imagine what they, it's like CNN, they have the ratings the lowest in 20 years, right? But CNN is in every hotel room on cable, basic cable, and at airports. I even saw CNN on a gasoline pump. I couldn't get away from it. There he was again. The red diaper doper baby, Wolf Blitzer, was like torturing me. I'm trying to pump high test into my car, and there he is giving me like the propaganda. No matter where I go, it's CNN and USA Today. But if you were to take Wolf Blitzer out of a gas pump and you were to dump USA Today and CNN out of hotels, you know what their ratings would be in actuality? 50% less than they tell you they are. So don't think I don't know what's going on. Again, nothing, zero. What else? Euro? Whatever happened to the euro? I thought Greece was going to collapse. You know, Greece collapsing and leaving the European Union is the equivalent of Iran getting the bomb and Israel bombing them. I'm so tired of it already. Either leave or don't leave, either bomb or don't bomb. Stop already with crying wolf. I can't take it. It's impossible. It's impossible to put up with this anymore. So let's see the recall again. We'll go back recall. Exit polls close, but no recall. Results 9 p.m. tonight. Hundreds report photo. 400 lawyers ready. Are you really interested in this recall election? You know who's going to be interested in this. This is red meat for, you know who. I don't have to mention the names. This is their cup of tea. This is something they can really sink their 90 IQ into. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Go back to my little grass shack in Calico, Hawaii.
So do I. I want to be with all the commies and all the Wahinis. That makes sense. Wait, play that again. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. I want to be
my little grass shack in
with all the commies. Okay.
I want to be with all the commies and Wahinis.
I want to be with all the commies. I knew it. That's why I left there. I couldn't take another day of it. I couldn't take another day of all of it. They sit around collecting like the welfare state.
I can hear the Hawaiians say.
Who is this singer, by the way? Would you just say something dirty on my show? Please. Please, this is a family program. Scott in Delray Beach, Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, it's a privilege. I've been listening to you for 4 years almost every day. You've become addicted to me. But there's one thing with this man that you say we wish we had back, the one who, J. Edgar Hoover, the one who has files on the former President John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, secret files.
But Scott, I would like to see files on Barack Obama conducted by our FBI, wouldn't you?
Who? On John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, people who want peace?
Scott, no. You're saying I shouldn't laud J. Edgar Hoover because he kept files on the Kennedys. And I'm saying I'd like to see the FBI's files on Barack Obama, wouldn't you?
And then make Nixon, make him director for life.
Now you're jumping around. Don't you think that there are questionable people in high places who should be investigated by the FBI today?
Him dressing as a transvestite and not hiring anybody, only a Christian, no black, no white, no Jew.
Well, what's wrong with a transvestite? Who says a transvestite doesn't make a good FBI director? What do you have against transvestites? Maybe they make excellent directors.
But I
Just because a man puts on a dress and a wig doesn't mean he's a bad person.
But I wouldn't want him as my FBI director.
Why not? He did a better job than a guy who puts on a suit and pants and is a dummy for Obama.
I hate Obama.
He puts on a suit and pants and makes him a good director? Give me a transvestite who loves America any day.
FBI director for life. Because he has thousands.
I wish he was still around, and I wish he was still the FBI director. We wouldn't have what we have today. We wouldn't have what we have today in the White House if we still had a J. Edgar Hoover.
Just...
All right, look, let's go away. As my father had a sign in his store, don't go away, man, just go away. Okay, that's all. Let's not get mad at each other. He had a sign in the store, do not go away, man, don't go away, man, just go away. You want to hear a story from an airplane related to the FBI? I'll give you one right now. I'll show you the new FBI in case you want to hear it. A friend is on an airplane the other day, sitting in first class. Behind her, two seats, first class, two men, strangers, don't know each other. They fly across the country. They don't really talk to each other till the last hour. Then people after the meal and the movie and it is, they get chatty, ready their lifetime, and they start talking. So one guy says to the other, this and that. Well, let's get together. He says, so the guy on the right, to the other guy, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll get together with you. My wife and I will get together with you. So the other man says to him, oh, that's interesting. What does your wife do? So he says, he is an FBI director. So the guy says, wait, excuse me? I just asked you. I mean, he's an FBI agent. So the other passenger says, wait, I know. I just asked you what your wife does, not what you do. He says, that's what I just said. My wife, he is an FBI agent. He said the other man didn't know what to do. He was flummoxed. So if you have any questions about what I just said to you, you'll understand why I say bring back J. Edgar Hoover, because we sure need him. That's all I could say to you. Now, what would you like to talk about? Dogs, jaguars, anything is fair. I don't know. Callers, still in Wisconsin is all they want to talk about? I can't believe this. I guess most people are very obsessed with it, the exit polls. That is real meat and potatoes for the average dim Republican on television. Oh, boy. Oh, this is going to be a three-dayer. Hey, Abbott's going to do this one for three straight. He's going to get the guy will have a new lease on life. Limbaugh will have a new lease on life with this one, the recall. This is real meat and potatoes. Because this doesn't, I mean, if he doesn't get recalled, this is a three-day celebration on most conservative talk radio. All right, look, people got to do what they got to do. Look how hard I'm working, and I'm getting a guy cursing me for saying J. Edgar Hoover. New York, WR, Linda, you've held a long time. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yay, Michael. Michael, I have two comments. One is I love when you sprinkle in stories about your health, vitamins. I love to talk about your nutrition, an expert that you are. But please, I beseech you, try not to start your show with, I'm not interested, I really don't want to talk about it. Both parties are the same, only because in the East Coast, you're on from 6 to 8, so people are driving home, and we need you. We need your expertise. We need your
Let me give the expertise why I'm going to vote for Romney in two words, taxes and national security. That's enough for me. As far as everything else, you're going to get no change from him and Obama. The government will filch less money from you under Romney, which everybody is for who works for a living. And you'll sleep better at night knowing he will definitely stand up to the Islamo-fascists and the Chinese more so than does the red diaper dopa baby in the White House. That's reason enough, isn't it? But I don't have to now talk about it until November.
I agree with you, but I have a suggestion about your mass today. And I heard it out of...
On my mass?
Mass that you had, your pectoral mass.
Oh, I thought you were saying I went to Catholic mass. I got scared. Yes,
no,
and?
No. I have a suggestion. On Dr. Oz, they had four foods that help prevent cancer. Number one is what my suggestion is, and it was collard greens. Look it up, Michael. You know.
Well, please. I don't have. When you stop giving me advice, I wrote books about this for 30, 40 years ago.
But
I don't want to eat. Okay, it's a stop. Stop it. You're like a sister-in-law I don't want to talk to. Do me a favor and don't call me with any nutritional advice at 8 o'clock at night on the East Coast. Do me a big favor. Or I'll leave for Guadalcanal with a ukulele. You'll never hear from me again.
Savage.
Warning. The
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now you have to hear some of this sound, including Bill Clinton at an Obama fundraiser in New York City.
I am the warm-up act for the president, and I will attempt to bring him on while you're still warm. I care about the long-term debt of the country a lot. Remember me? I'm the only guy that gave you four surplus budgets out of the eight I sent. So I hope what I say to you will have some weight, because I want you to say it to everybody you see between now and November. When I left office, we returned to the trickle-down policies. Big tax cuts, mostly for people in my income group. I love saying this because I never had any money until I got out of the White House. Maybe that's why I don't mind paying those taxes, since I never had it before. I don't know what it was like. You got to have the right captain of the ship. And I am depending on you to take care of future generations by making sure that that captain is President Barack Obama. Bring him on.
Now you need to listen to President Obama congratulating the Queen on her Diamond Jubilee. This is the same president whose first official act was to get rid of a bust of the man who saved England, Winston Churchill.
Your Majesty, on the historic occasion of your Diamond Jubilee, Michelle and I send you and all the British people and members of the Commonwealth the heartfelt congratulations of the American people. In war and in peace, in times of plenty and in times of hardship, the United States and the United Kingdom have shared a special relationship. We've stood tall and strong, and together we've faced some of the greatest challenges this world has known. And while many presidents and prime ministers have come and gone, Your Majesty's reign has endured. As I said last year at Buckingham Palace, that makes Your Majesty both a living witness to the power of our alliance and a chief source of its resilience. As a steadfast ally, loyal friend, and tireless leader, Your Majesty has set an example of resolve that will be long celebrated.
Now listen to Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying that the Republicans know they can't win this election on the merits. No comment, Debbie. In my day, you would have run a brassiere shop on Union Turnpike.
The Republicans know that they can't win this election on the merits. Barack Obama's been fighting for the middle class and working families, has begun to get this economy turned around, taken after 3 years an economy that was hemorrhaging 750,000 jobs a month. And now we've had 27 straight months of job growth in the private sector, a resurgence in the manufacturing sector. And they know that is thanks to his policies.
Well, here's the news from San Francisco. Let's start in San Francisco, work our way around to michaelsavage.com. Teenagers attacked in San Francisco and burned with a cigarette by three robbers. Three robbers. They won't identify the robbers. Three men approached a 13 and 14-year-old boy, two of them, at 5:50 in the afternoon and demanded money. When the 14-year-old refused, one of the robbers showed him a gun and then punched him in the face. When the 13-year-old intervened, a second man burned his face with a cigarette, then took the boy's money and an MP3 player and ran away. Officers have yet to make any arrests, but here's a description of them. Be on the lookout for three men between the ages of 25 and 35 of no race. You see, in San Francisco, the only crimes are committed by men of no race. Unless, of course, it's a white male, then, of course, you see the picture of him with blonde hair and blue eyes. What else is in San Francisco? Whoa. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at what else. Well, it's around the country. Shoplifter dies after a fight at Walmart. China tells U.S. to stop tweets on Beijing's bad air. Bill to ban dogs on bear hunts near showdown. And now let's go directly to michaelsavage.com. France blames Obama over the worldwide debt. See, Obama's been blaming everybody, including France. Now the socialist in France is saying the socialist in America did it.
The crisis did not start in Europe.
Lehman Brothers
was not a European bank. We should not shift responsibility. We're all in the same boat.
Today, after an 18-month battle, Wisconsin voters weigh in on a recall effort against the great governor. Excess exercise hurts the heart, as I've been telling you, came out of the London Daily Mail. Illegal voters, the winning edge. The Justice Department under Holder and Obama is now working to allow fraudulent votes to take place. Obama stimulus may have cost up to $4.1 million for each job. Good job, Michelle. DHS gave border privileges to kin of watch-listed terrorists linked to drug smuggling. Top Obama EPA official admits plan to kill the coal industry. Drone strike kills number two al-Qaeda leader in Pakistan. Abandoned mansion on market for $25 million. You got to see a picture of that. Wiretaps reveal fast and furious tactics. That's the FBI and Holder. Venezuela bans private gun ownership. I'm reading to you the headlines from michaelsavage.com. Would you like to hear more? Bottom left, sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter. Click there. Somali piracy more frequent and more violent than ever. That's because we no longer have a navy. No, we have a birthing clinic with propellers. And on the top left, welcome to the newly created socialist states of America. On sale everywhere. Trickle down tyranny. Go to your bookstores now. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
If you have a question that's plaguing you, I'll be your lifestyle coach for 5 minutes. Since I have reached a certain age and have a certain degree of knowledge and wisdom that you could use. I mean, look, when you give money to an expert to advise you on something, you go to the expert because you figure they know more than you do about the subject. That could be a tax accountant. It could be a psychiatrist. It could be a lifestyle coach. It could have been a teacher. Some authority figure who you feel knows something about certain things. And if you're lucky enough to get on the show through my call screener by calling 1-800-449-8255 with any lifestyle question, you'll be saving thousands of dollars because you'll get a free answer for whatever it's worth. Truthfully, I mean, that's what I'd rather do. So I'll start with anything but the election right now. I can't take it. I can't take any more of it. I'd rather talk about igneous rocks than Barack Hussein Obama. I would rather talk about the crustacean, the Democrats versus Republicans. I would rather talk about evolution rather than Democrats versus Republicans. I would rather talk about serpentine rock rather than Newt Gingrich. I'd rather talk about the molecular structure of magnesium rather than Ron Paul. Anything, please spare me. Don't do this to me anymore. I can't take another second of it. Play the Life Coach theme so they know what we're talking about in the Savage Nation. Yeah, oh, that's nice. Desafinado. Desafinado. That's Stan Getz, right? Yes, Stan Getz, Desafinado. 1958 Chrysler was what I had at the time. My father's used car with it. She had a big block Hemi engine in it, I remember. I remember I got T-boned in a crosswalk after an afternoon with a Playboy bunny. No, in those days you could drive after a nice afternoon of pleasure. Today you go away for 7 years. I wasn't speeding. He hit me, and the guy went through a red light. He T-boned the car, and like a Hell's Angel hitter came over. He bought the car for the engine, I remember. I think he paid me $300 just for the engine. They hauled the Hulk away. It was a big car, beautiful engine. Incredible. See, every song has a certain memory attached to it. What are they calling? Okay, Las Vegas, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Doc. I want to know if you're ready for art lesson number two here for you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. Before we talked about doing some tracing with graph paper.
Yeah.
Now you got to keep the picture, the photograph that you took. You got to keep it on.
You know what? No, Mike, truthfully, nobody wants to. That's not art, tracing a picture, is it?
I'll tell you why. You're taking the photograph, and Norman Rockwell, he did the same thing, but he did with projection screen.
What do you mean? He projected an image on a screen and painted over it?
No. He just drew the outline. You're not painting it. You're just going to draw the outline. Very few light lines. You're not doing the whole picture.
I'm not painting anymore. I put my paints away since I came back from Florida. It's very interesting. The light here doesn't do the same thing to me that the light in Florida did. The light in Florida was so intense that I started to paint. Now that I've come back to California, although it's beautiful, the intensity is not the same. So my paints are in the top of a closet. I'm not interested in painting again. Isn't that weird how light is so different in different parts of the world? But I like his idea of tracing. That's cheating, as far as I could tell. But, you know, look, John Nagy launched the art careers of many, many people, which reminds me of the campaign we're watching. It's like a campaign created by John Nagy, where it's the numbers. You just follow the numbers and something comes out of it, you know? What is this? Is that a call? No one's calling? Does anyone have a question? Not a question in the whole bunch. No, please, I cannot have any. If I see the word Romney, Santorum, Paul, Gingrich, or whatever else the name is, I'm not taking the call. Blank them out. I'd rather go to a blank screen like an artist and trace on my call board. I can't take it. I swear to you, Mike, I'm regurgitating mentally from this. 15, 16 debates, I've had enough. The bottom was yesterday when the bottom-feeding crustacean, Stephanopoulos, asks about contraception in the middle of a world like this. Yeah, here's a lifestyle question. Mike in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to ask, my 19-year-old son is a liberal arts major, and he's a really good kid. He's straight. He's into playing guitar and video games. And other than that, he knows not what he wants to do. And I'd really like to help him refine his search in terms of a career goal.
How old is he?
19, just turned.
No. Most kids at 19 don't know what they want to do. So don't feel alarmed by that. Did you know what you wanted to do at 19? I didn't.
No, I certainly didn't.
No, I didn't. I was always groping and searching. Nobody really knows what they want to do. Very few do. Let's put it that way. Those who are driven like that usually want to become some bottom-feeding lawyer who deceives and lies to people. They have an idea from the time they're 9 years old that they're more devious and a better liar than their fellow kids in school, and they become lawyers. But other than that, how many people at 19 know what they really want to become?
Well, liberal arts, I feel like he's wasting his time doing a...
Well, they don't have an alternative called conservative arts yet, do they?
No, that would definitely make
no, liberal arts consists of how to put a condom on a cucumber, how to roll a doobie, and how to hate America. Those would be the three liberal arts that they learn in college. How to hate your parents, how to hate the church, and how to hate anybody who has anything more than you. That's the liberal arts curriculum today, especially at NYU. But, I mean, your question is a serious one, which is how do you motivate your son to try to, pick his way through this morass called life, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So I'll give you an answer. We'll start with the basics. How does any boy or girl figure out what they want to do to make a living? How do they figure that out? What do they do to figure that out? Well, first they have to find out what jobs, if they're just looking for a job, assuming he's not wanting to be a professional, so to speak, of any kind. He doesn't want to go to a law school, medical school, dental school. He doesn't want to be an architect or an engineer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So you've eliminated most of the white-collar professions. Therefore, what does he want to do? He has to make a living primarily, correct?
Yes.
All right. So how hard is it for him to go take a job in retail in New York? There are probably thousands of jobs going begging. And you say, well, who wants to work in a lowly paid retail job? The answer is nobody, really. But he gets exposure to humanity that way. And in this exposure, he might get inspired through somebody he meets or something he sees. The trick is to get him out of the house. He's got to work somewhere, Mike.
Yes.
Your name is Mike. Mike, he's got to take a job is what he's got. Is he working now?
He's giving guitar lessons to young kids, and he also is helping my sister in a communications business. But he does a lot of running wires, Category 5 wires and things of that nature.
What do you mean? You mean electronic wires and Cat 5 wiring?
Yes, but
so he's into electronics.
Yeah, I'm only insofar as my brother-in-law has been training him. My brother-in-law has a business doing that. And I tried
to. So he is working. So he is. He's not a total slacker. He's not sitting home like Wayne's World in the basement, is he?
No, but he's part time, and he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it. But that's how life works. Is you take a menial job and you don't like it, and you say I don't want to do this anymore. I can't stand it. And you figure out a way that you're going to make more money by doing something else. So you train for it, or you get next to somebody who has a better job, and you take the job.
Savage.
We all know this nation has not been put on a path to economic recovery, as Obama says it is. That we know. It's on a road to economic disaster. And if you think I'm making this up, why don't you listen to former Colorado Congressman Bob Beaupre. Bob, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's good to be talking to you again. Thanks very much for the invitation.
All right, so explain what this so-called recovery has actually been.
The worst ever. That's not just my opinion, but it's the opinion of places like the Wall Street Journal, Investors Business Daily. And the data support that, unfortunately. People are enormously disappointed. Unemployment has lagged. Job creation has lagged. People have seen the opportunity literally slip through their fingers. The number of small businesses starting up is at an all-time low. A third of homeowner or value in homes has gone away, just evaporated, and there's almost exactly that same number of homes, 31%, are underwater on their mortgage, meaning they owe more than the house is worth. Graduates, we're in the graduating season right now. Fully one in two of college graduates can't find work within a year in the profession of their choice. About 30%, 3 in 10 of young adults are moving back home with mom and dad. They're delaying marriage, delaying having children. Michael, this is bad news, and I'm not saying this just as a partisan Republican. The numbers don't lie. And whether you voted for Barack Obama or not, we really did expect more. We're optimistic by our nature. Americans always see the glass as half full, but boy, it's tough right now to look out there.
Well, what are the chances of a second recession or even worse, a real depression?
Well, unfortunately, the chances seem to be with us. There's been talk about that off and on. We're into the third summer in a row now of this so-called recovery where it's actually started to dip back down, and economists start to worry about a double dip. It's probably accentuated, not probably it is accentuated this time by all the problems that continue to persist and worsen in Europe. Even China is starting to slip backwards a little bit now. It's real, and it's especially real since this administration seems completely feckless at trying to do anything to actually get us going in the right direction. In fact, if you want to look at comparative numbers, there's plenty to look at. There have been 10 other recessions since the end of the Second World War. This is the 11th. And if you look at average performance of all the others, this is far and away the slowest recovery, the longest recovery. We are lagging so far behind any other recovery, and that adds to lower consumer confidence, lower spending, lower capital investment. All of that, Michael, compounded with the problems around the world, make a great many economists and those of us that just watch things closely very, very worried about a double dip, a so-called double dip, slipping back into full-blown recession again.
Is there anything that could be done to turn around the struggling economy that you really know of?
Well, yeah, I would lower taxes. I certainly wouldn't be talking about raising them. Obamacare alone, Michael, has 18 tax increases in it, not to mention an avalanche of new regulation. Regulation actually costs us more, twice as much a burden on the economy as all the income tax revenue that the IRS collects in a year. Okay? Let me say that again. As bad as taxation is at inhibiting economic growth, the cost of regulation as calculated by the Small Business Administration is twice the amount of total income tax revenue collected by the IRS in a given year. I would whack regulation dramatically. I'd repeal Obamacare immediately. I would reduce the corporate tax rate at least to the next to the level of the next highest nation in the world. That'd mean about a 10% reduction in the corporate tax rate. I would implement a repatriation of income that's been earned abroad by multinational companies, not double tax them if they bring it home. That would bring maybe as much as a trillion of new capital into America. And I would send a very strong signal that we're open for business in the business of energy development. That oil and gas and coal are not negative words. They're not pejorative terms. We expand our economy. We create jobs. Business grows on access to affordable, sustainable supplies of energy. You send that kind of a open for business, a confidence-building message, and you'll see the American economy take off again. But what we've been getting out of this administration, sadly, is just the opposite.
Can Romney really be trusted to fix our economy? I mean, the Republicans don't have a great track record.
Well, I know Mitt Romney, and I say yes. I trust him for several reasons. One, he's actually been in the private sector. He knows how it works. He is sane and doing the right things, and he's surrounded himself with some good people. And he's going to have, I believe, a Republican House and Senate that's going to assist him in doing the right thing. Will he do the right thing by 100% by your definition or my definition? I don't know that any politician ever could. But can he exude some confidence? Can he make the right decisions? Can he turn this country around? Actually, that's what he's done his whole life, whether it was at the Olympics, whether it was as Massachusetts governor, even with an 85% Democrat legislature, or certainly in the private sector. That's what he has done, is take difficult situations, turn them around, and make them better. And you've got 3 out of 4 people in America today agreeing that we're headed in the wrong direction, we need turned around. I think you go find a turnaround artist to do it. We've got 2 choices. More of Barack Obama or Mitt Romney? I choose Mitt.
Switching topics, how important, in your opinion, is this recall election in Wisconsin?
Big, extremely big. It's big, obviously, for the state of Wisconsin because they've charted a new course. They've tried to implement some reforms and a little bit of common sense and roll back the out of control concessions that have been made to the unions. I hope they stay the course, but This election is much bigger than just Wisconsin. It's been nationalized. It is a referendum on the left, on the Democrats. It is going to be seen as a bellwether for the November election, and it should be. Don't forget, Obama carried Wisconsin by 14 points in 2008. If Scott Walker survives this recall, I think it is a very serious shot across the bow of Obama's reelection campaign.
Well, will the outcome have any effect on November?
I think it's a big indicator. Whether it tips the scale one way or the other, time will tell. But I think it's going to be a very, very significant read on the mood of the electorate. Again, Wisconsin was a state that Obama carried easily, 5 points bigger, even more than that. It's a very big margin, bigger than he did nationally. So this should be a very good state to Barack Obama. But right now, if Scott Walker survives, that's pretty telling. And you've noticed that Obama is doing his very best that he can to stay an arm's length away from Wisconsin and not get splattered if, in fact, it goes Scott Walker's way.
Bob O'Pray, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to talk to you. Anybody's interested, they can find more at my website, alineofsight.com.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Putting aside all threats from the Muslim Brotherhood and from the meddler in the White House, we're putting aside the thuggery of the unions, George Soros' megalomania and desire to take over the world. We're putting aside all the temporary problems of the world, and I'm going to answer your questions. Are they sexual in nature, financial, personal? Is it a problem with your boss? Is it with your husband? This is Mike Savage, Life Coach. Wisconsin Shannon, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I need help with the fact that I'm a hardcore Democrat. My husband is a hardcore Republican.
So what's the problem?
Well, every time there's something going on in our state or federal, like right now the situation in Wisconsin, it sparks huge arguments between the two of us.
So do what women have done for centuries, withhold sex.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Why?
We have a six-month-old baby, so he doesn't have them very often anyways.
Well, that's what babies are for, aren't they? To keep the husband away.
It's the best birth control ever, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons women used to have babies every year or so was to make sure the husband left them alone. Well, I don't know what the problem is. You're not going to change his mind. He's not going to change yours. You're a communist and he's a Republican. What are you going to do?
Is there any way to, even it out some?
Well, I mean, is there any way for him to reach you with any reason? In other words, if your state is broke and bankrupt and the governor's asking teachers to pay a small amount towards their own pension and their own health care, does that not make sense to you? Where should the money come from?
From other...
Hello? Where should the money come from?
There's other ways to cut spending.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean there are other ways to cut spending? Why is it that people who work for a private company contribute to their own pensions and their own health care, but government workers should not? Is that fair? You're a Democrat. You're a fair-minded Democrat. Why should state workers be exempt from sharing the burden of supporting themselves?
Teachers don't make very much for wages.
A very good point, but neither do people in the private sector today. At least they have a job in teaching. They have a job that's secure. That's better than a lot of people who don't have any job at all.
Understandable.
You see, Shannon, things have changed. The world is not what it was when your parents were alive. Thank you for the call. Oh, does that husband have trouble? I see there's no way to reason with people when they met. Salt Lake City, Ryan, what's your question for Dr. Savage?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm 33 years old. I have a bachelor's degree, but I'm thinking about going back to get my MBA. I just don't know if it's going to pay off in the long run. If I spend the $50,000 to get the MBA, is it going to pay off for me later on?
My suggestion is forget the MBA, spend $400 on a life coach degree, and become a life coach. You'll make more money faster.
That could be true.
I hear people are doing it. They're actually paying some people money to get some kind of like experience in being a life coach. How the heck could you become a life coach if you haven't lived?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are they going to advise people of if they haven't gone through it themselves? Now, as far as an MBA goes, I don't know. There was a time when it was a union card to a job in a corporation. Do MBAs really teach you today what you need to know in this economy? I can't answer that question. Do you have a family business, perhaps, that you're thinking of taking over, or you got to create your own business?
Well, as of right now, I'm already employed, and it's always kind of been a dream of mine to be an entrepreneur and maybe start a business. But
Then why do you need an MBA? An MBA requires a good idea, some money, and the ability to go ahead and do it. You don't need an MBA for that. I mean, you need to know the basic principles of a business, marketing, etc. You need to know how to do that, but I don't know that you don't need a degree for that today. You could go on the internet right now and you could run a search that says what do I need to know to run a small business? Give me 10 steps. You could probably find it in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that's true, but I mean, if that doesn't work out, if I need to, you know, lean back on a larger corporation, will it give me
All right, that's another point. In other words, if you're looking to tomorrow in a more competitive marketplace, the MBA certainly would distinguish you from an applicant with an ordinary bachelor's degree. In that regard, yes. I'm always for that higher degree if it's from a decent university, and that's what you want. If, on the other hand, you're looking really to be an entrepreneur, you've got to think about what your best ideas might be. You know, the old statement, build a better mousetrap and people will be the door a path to your doorstep. It's still true, by the way. It is still true. In fact, even in a down economy, people are still spending money, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's not like suddenly no one's buying anymore. They're not trading like oyster shells for their dinner. They're spending money. So if you put out a better product in a restaurant, people are going to go to it at a good price. Or whatever I don't know what your ideas are. You have to start thinking about your ideas rather than the degree. I'd put my ideas ahead of my degrees. Then I'd worry about it. You could hire an MBA to be your partner. Hire an MBA who killed himself for 3 years and make him the CFO and give him a piece of the business. Let him figure out all the angles of the business if you have a good idea. And you could you could sidestep having to go to school.
All right.
I know some of the people I know who are the most successful, whether they be in the media or in business, never even went to college, by the way. And they are multimillionaires because they had a good idea and they were willing to invest their own time and energy and build that business. And it could still be done. As I say, even in a down economy, there are products that have not yet been invented that people who are looking for a way out of a down economy would if I was hungry for money right now, I could come up with 5 ideas to get people to follow me right now and to give them the hope that they might find a way out of the morass they're in. I wouldn't do it because I don't want to exploit anybody. But there are ways that you can come up with ideas every day of the week, Ryan. Good economy, bad economy, it doesn't matter.
All right, thank you.
Anyway, so the bottom line of my answer to you is this. If you're thinking of security and you want to go in a big corporation, yes, go for the MBA. If, on the other hand, you have a better mousetrap that you want to put out in market right now, go to work with an MBA. Make him your CFO. Give him a piece of the business. If he thinks it's good, give him a percentage and let him go out and raise the money and go sell it. Thanks for the call. I'd like a sex question right now. Oh, here we got one here. Alabama, Elaine, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. My husband has not made or shown any interest in being intimate with me in 4 years or longer. And every time I pinpoint it and sit him down and question him about it, he will start cursing me and just jump up and leave the room. Mm. And so I was wondering what your...
How many years have you been together?
31.
Well, look, I don't want to make any jokes about it, but, you know, the romantic phase ended a while ago, correct?
Well, you with me it was forced, but...
Wait, hold on. With you, what was forced?
Well, it was forced to end with me because he's not interested. And I'm not about...
Well, hold on. So what is the basis of your relationship if it's not sexual? What keeps you together at all? You have something in common. There must be some reason. Is there a companionship element to the relationship at this point or not?
We're good friends.
Are you good friends? Do you fight all the time, or do you actually enjoy your company with him other than the sexual loss?
We enjoy each other's company other than that.
Well, let me tell you something. Elaine, you know, there's a little wisdom in what I'm going to tell you. You ask anyone going back any period of time, and they'll tell you that any long-term relationship primarily has to be based upon companionship. If you've got that, you've got 95% of the package, Elaine. A lot of people have sexuality. They have no relationship, though. They have no companionship and no care for each other. So sometimes you have to take what you have. I know the other side of you is dying. That's another story. I can't answer that one because I don't know what the dynamics are between you and your husband.
Your opinion, because I sure don't.
But what I'm going to say to you is, without being a wise guy, is if you have kindness between each other and you enjoy each other's company, instead of approaching him with, why aren't you making love to me? Why are you rejecting my advances? Why don't you try to emphasize with him how much you enjoy being with him and put that aside for a while? Don't even think about it. Try to put it aside because he'll pick up the vibes that you're not approaching him to go to bed with him. You're approaching him because you like being with him, and maybe that will come back again. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
That's how I would approach that. Now, I thought that was a very sensitive answer from Dr. Mike. I think it was very touching. I thought, see, I'm doing a very good job, better than most psychiatrists. They would tell you to meet him in a motel and get ropes and, you know, get dirty movies. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I don't think that way. Savage.